challenge us, move us to a closer trust in you, a closer sense of repentance during this time of Lent before the season of Holy Week and the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord. Help us to use this time to prepare ourselves for your coming anew into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I heard of a lady who lived next door to an atheist. Every day he would try to convince her that God did not exist. He would go to her house while she was praying out loud and say, "Hey lady, why do you pray all the time? Don't you know there is no God?" She kept on praying. At the end of her prayers, she would always say, "Praise the Lord." She was poor, and one day she ran out of groceries. As usual, she was praying to the Lord, explaining her situation and thanking him for what he was going to do to take care of her. As always, she finished her prayers with a shout, "Praise the Lord." The atheist heard her and thought to himself, "Huh, I'll fix her this time." He went to the grocery store, bought a whole bunch of groceries, took them to her house, dropped them off at her front porch, rang the doorbell, and then hid in the bushes to see what she would do. When she opened the door and saw the groceries, she shouted, "Praise the Lord!" The atheist jumped out of the bushes and told her, "Hey lady, God didn't buy you those groceries. I did. There is no God." She shouted, "Praise the Lord. Not only did the Lord provide me with some groceries, but he made the devil pay for it." C.S. Lewis once wrote, do I have it on here? No, I got to turn this on. Nope, I don't. C.S. Lewis, you've heard of him, once wrote, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall concerning the devils. One is to disbelieve their existence. The other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased with both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight." Classic Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, affirms the biblical belief that there is an evil force out there in the universe, called by many names throughout the scriptures. Most of them, we know them by either the devil or Satan. This evil force, is not equal to God compared to the devil. The devil is nothing more than a cockroach. His powers are generally limited to the realm of temptation, to suggestion, and to lies. The story of Jesus' encounter with the devil in the wilderness is a battle then of truth. God's truth, God's word versus the word of a liar. The word Satan literally means deceiver. So this morning I want to talk about the lies that we Christians tend to believe. So in the story that Jesus told in here, or that Matthew tells here, he's in the desert, and there's this famous story of the temptation of Jesus. And there are, in this story, three separate temptations, separate attacks against Jesus. And although each temptation is different, they all have the same objective. All three temptations have as their goal getting Jesus to disbelieve the word of the Father, the word that he has said to him by acting contrary to who he is. And who is Jesus? Well, in the passage just before this, Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. In that story, heaven opened up, and the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove, and the words of the Lord came and said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And these are almost the exact same words that the Father tells Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, the sermon I preached on last Sunday. Jesus, if he is the Son of God, as the Word of God declares, then that means he is the promised Messiah with a mission to fulfill, a mission to save the world. It also implies that he is divine and eternal, and that he represents God's interests on this earth. If Jesus is the Son of God, then he has all power and authority of God the Father. He is also human. And as a human, Satan can tempt Jesus to doubt the Father's words to him and therefore to act in a way that is contrary to his identity. That's his objective. Doubt the Father's words toward you and therefore have you doubt your identity and doubt and act in an opposite way. So, the first temptation, the devil comes at Jesus through the appetites. Okay, the appetite is simply a physical need or desire. And there's nothing wrong, really, with our appetites until we put them above God and take matters into our own hands to feed them. So in the desert, Jesus had been fasting, and he obviously was hungry. He had a physical need. And so the devil says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, again, if, trying to raise the specter of doubt, tell these stones to become bread. Now, all of us have fundamental appetites, appetites for food, for sex, for shelter, for nurture, for much, much more. These are good things in their proper God-ordained place. There's nothing wrong with them. The problem is when our appetites become our main focus and when feeding them becomes our obsession, or when we take them into our own hands. The problem is when our appetites become the God that is before us. The good news is that God has promised to take care of us. This past summer, forgive me if I've shared this story, the North American Lutheran Church, we had an election for another national leader to be the leader of our group, a new bishop. And the votes landed on Dan Selbo of San Jose, California. And the night before the vote, he was saying to us that he couldn't sleep. And in his frustration, something we've all experienced, we can't sleep, right? He sensed God saying to him, don't worry, I am your rest. I am your sleep. In Genesis chapter 15, the Lord God said to Abram, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. God will be for us whatever we need. The lie that we tend to believe is that we are the only ones who can take care of ourselves. If we don't take care of ourselves, then who will take care of us? So when the devil tempted Jesus on the level of his appetites, he says, Jesus responds to the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but in every word that comes from the mouth of God. God will take care of you. Don't believe the lie of the devil. So the second temptation, the devil brings Jesus into Jerusalem, and this is probably in a vision, and to the highest point of the temple and says, if, bringing up doubt, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And the devil even quotes a bit of scripture to prove his point. God will command his angels and they will lift you up so that you do not strike your foot against a stone. This temptation tries to enter the door of approval. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, of course, right? After the baptism and then the temptation, Jesus will launch himself into a ministry of teaching and healing and all kinds of things, feeding the hungry and such. It's the beginning of his ministry. And wouldn't it be a big boost to his popularity if Jesus could do something amazing, like jumping off the temple and landing on the ground like one of the Marvel adventure characters, right? Just kind of, whoosh, wow. Author Henry Nouwen calls this temptation the temptation to be spectacular, right? And there are many ways that we all love to show ourselves to be spectacular in some way. And the root of all of that is our own needs for approval. It's a fact that our culture loves the spectacular, from sports to entertainment to business to everything. We give our approval to those who shine or are the best at something. And many people would sell their souls to the devil to be seen in that way. Spectacular. It's nice to have approval, but not always. When people approve of us, only when we behave according to their particular standards or when we agree with them, then we are not honoring God, but people. One of the lies that we believe is that human approval is more important than God's approval. And some people connect them. If people like me and say good things about me, that must be that God is saying good things about me too. The good news of the gospel means that through Christ we have already received the only approval that matters, the love and approval of our Heavenly Father. And that frees us from the burden of seeking human approval. And in that is a burden, trust me. We didn't get God's approval through anything that we did. It does not come from our attempts at being sinless. If that's how things worked, we would never make it, right? We were way too sinful for that. Our approval from God comes to us because the Father approved of Christ and his work on the cross to save us. So when the Father sees us through faith in Christ, he sees not us, but Christ, who he loves and has already approved. We have received the approval of the Father through Christ. So don't believe the lie that you need to be spectacular or something to find approval. Jesus answered the devil, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." In other words, don't doubt God's promises to you. Finally, the third and final temptation was a temptation that appealed to ambition. So the appetites, the devil tried to crawl through, approval, and now ambition. There's nothing wrong with being ambitious if that ambition falls under our larger and higher ambition to serve the Lord in his kingdom. There's nothing wrong with being, for example, the best teacher that we can be, or the best office worker that we can be, or the best whatever we can be. The Lord calls us, each of us, to serve him in the real world, which implies all kinds of jobs and vocations and whatever we do. The Lord calls us to serve in that way, but remembering that ultimately it is him that we serve. But if all our ambitions don't ultimately serve under the lordship of our Lord of Jesus Christ in his kingdom, then we really are bowing down to another Lord, the Lord of this world. The devil, it says, took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. In exchange for worshiping the devil, Jesus would receive all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Now, Jesus was preaching the kingdom. He had a kingdom to expand, the kingdom of God. And Jesus was very ambitious to expand this kingdom. And from the time Jesus came, for the next 300 years, literally half the Roman Empire became Christians. The kingdom had been expanding. And it's been expanding through the centuries and around the world so that there is no country on this planet that does not have some Christian presence. And one day, the kingdom of God will expand and to take over the entire universe. Jesus is ambitious to expand the kingdom through us, but it must go through the cross. It must go through the way of suffering and death. And what the devil is offering really to Jesus, one of the things he's offering is a shortcut to that process. You know, give up what the Father is telling you, go my way, a form of bowing down to me, and you can have this kingdom. It just doesn't have to go through the cross. You just go straight to glory. So the devil's trying to appeal to Jesus' ambition to bring in and expand the kingdom, but it's not God's kingdom that he would be expanding. You know, I think the lie that too many Christians believe is that they can put their own ambitions first and think that they can serve Christ in his kingdom at the same time. They can't. In the Bible, idolatry, if you study idolatry in the Old Testament, it's really interesting. It's not so much about abandoning God for another God. That's what it seems sometimes. The reality in the Old Testament in terms of idolatry is the people of Israel never really gave up their God. They just had other gods alongside God. And so there was God and then Baal and Asherah and all their other gods. They figured, you know, two or three or four better than one. And sometimes we do the same thing. Sometimes we think, we can live after all these other ambitions. We can go after this. We can go after wealth. We can go after prestige. We can go after power. We can go after whatever. And then have God over here, sort of as a hobby, right? we'll do our God thing over here, but then we'll have all the rest of it as well. In our ambitions, the Lord must be first, or else we are really bowing down to another God. So don't fall for that lie. We can't serve God and everything else at the same time. So the third stanza, to finish as a conclusion, the third stanza of Martin Luther's great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, says this. Though hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us, we tremble not unmoved, we stand. They cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage, in battle we'll engaged. His might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues him, and that's the word of Christ, the word of the gospel, God's promises. The devil's agenda is to get us to disbelieve what God says and what God wants us to do. So we can reject the word of God either by the word itself, or we can reject it by our own behavior. That's what he tried to do with Jesus in the desert. But now Jesus lives in our hearts. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We can overpower the devil and all his lies that we tend to believe through the word of Christ. May that be so with us. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.